Pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers has introduced people all over the world to the love of Jesus Christ and has impacted untold numbers of lives by presenting profound truth simply stated. Thanks for joining us for this message. Here's Adrian Rogers.
We're going to ask a question today. It's a question that Pilate asked the Roman governor who delivered Jesus up to be crucified. He asked this question 2,000 years ago. But the question is as fresh and as pertinent today as it was then. Here is the question. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? This question is a personal question. You, like Pilate, must answer it. This question is a pertinent question. We're not talking about some other personality. We're not talking about some denomination. We're not talking about some idea. We're talking about one who claims to be the Son of God. And this question is a pressing question. It is before you right now. What shall I do with Christ? Now, Pilate had Jesus Christ on his hands, and therefore Jesus Christ was in Pilate's hand at that day. And today, Jesus Christ is in your hands. But the time came when Pilate was in Jesus' hands. And the time will come when you will be in Jesus' hands. Jesus was standing before Pilate. But at the judgment, Pilate stands before Jesus. Jesus is standing before you today through the Spirit and through the Word. But one day, as surely as I stand here, you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this question is a very pertinent, a very personal, a very pressing question. What shall I do with Jesus, who's called Christ? Now, Pilate had to do something with Jesus. He was faced with the inevitable, unavoidable Jesus Christ. And so are you. And I want you to know that Pilate did not make the decision that he made to have Jesus crucified. He didn't make that decision without warning. There were some voices that spoke to Pilate. There were some voices that confronted him. For example, there was a voice of reason. The Bible says that Pilate knew that it was for envy that they had delivered Jesus to him. Now, Pilate was no fool. You don't get to be the Roman governor by being a fool. And the voice of reason told Pilate that this whole thing was a charade. And I'm going to say something to you, sir. If you will use the voice of reason Pilate failed to use, you'll give your heart to Jesus Christ. The voice of reason spoke to Pilate. I'll tell you something else that spoke to Pilate, not only reason, but conscience. Pilate looked at him. Pilate listened to all of the witnesses, and Pilate said, "I, having examined the evidence, find no fault in him." His conscience reverberated through him, and he knew indeed, not only by reason, but by conscience, that Jesus Christ was who he claimed to be. But another voice spoke to Pilate. His wife somehow was in touch with God, and his wife had a dream. And she came to Pilate, and she sent word to Pilate and said, "Have nothing to do with this just man. I've suffered many things in a dream because of him." And God, through the voice of a loved one, had spoken to Pilate. And again, I'm speaking to people, and the voice of reason has spoken to you, the voice of conscience has spoken to you, and the voice of a loved one has spoken to you. Maybe it's your mother. maybe your dad, maybe your wife, maybe your children, maybe your pastor, maybe your Sunday school teacher, but God has sent to you a very special messenger in love to tell you to give your heart to Jesus Christ and to crown Him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But do you know the greatest voice that spoke to Pilate? It was the voice of God. He was face to face with Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Jesus Christ and Pilate were face to face. And Pilate heard. Pilate had his ability. Pilate had his opportunity to give his heart to Jesus Christ. There were voices. Voices that confronted him. But friend, there were values that controlled him. I mean, it was very difficult for Pilate to give his heart to Christ. It was very difficult for Christ to be real in Pilate's life. There were some values that were squeezing Pilate in. What were they? Well, number one, public opinion. The Bible tells us that Pilate allowed Jesus Christ to be crucified because he wanted the crowd to be content. I mean, in order to give contentment to the crowd, the Bible says, in order to placate them, Pilate said, "Let him be crucified." Do you understand? It was public opinion that was squeezing Pilate into a mold. And some of you are afraid that if you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, you would be laughed at, perhaps on the job, perhaps in your business, perhaps at the university, perhaps at the hospital. People would look down upon you. You'd be out of step with the crowd that you run in. But there was another pressure that conformed him, another value that conformed him, not only public opinion and popularity, but there was something else. It was position and possession. You see, Pilate had a cushy job. I mean, he had all of the lavish amenities that a Roman governor would have. And the Jewish council said, "Listen, Jesus claims to be king. And if you don't allow Jesus Christ to be crucified, we'll send word to Caesar. And Caesar will deal with you. You will lose your position and your possessions." And Pilate made a decision to crucify Jesus Christ because what buttered his bread determined his conduct. And there are people like that today who still would see that Jesus Christ is crucified before they would give up position and possession. But I'll tell you the main thing that conformed Pilate. Not public opinion, not position, not possession, but pride. Pilate was an egotist, stuffed full of himself. He said to Jesus, "Why don't you talk to me? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or to release you?" I mean, the man is reeking with pride. Many a man, many a woman today has been escorted to hell, bound in the cold chains of pride that have been forged on the anvil of a hard heart. But see not only the voices that confronted him. See not only the values that controlled him, but see the verdict that condemned him. Pilate said, after all of these pressures, "I am going to wash my hands of Jesus." And in a mock ceremony, took a basin of water and washed his lily-white, fence-straddling politician's hands, held them up, and said, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it." And it is true that Pilate did not spit in the face of Jesus. It is true that Pilate's hands were not the hands that jerked the beard from his face. It is true that Pilate did not hold that club that battered and beat and bruised the face of Jesus. It is true that Pilate did not hold the hammer that drove those searing nails into the quivering palms of Jesus Christ. It is true that Pilate did not hold the spear that was rammed into his side. But eternity will show that Pilate's decision not to decide was the worst decision of all. For Jesus Christ said, "He that is not with me is against me." And Pilate thought that by allowing the crowd to decide whether it would be Jesus or Barabbas, that somehow he could wash his hands, that somehow he could be neutral of this whole thing. But his decision not to decide was the worst decision that he could make, because he decided against the Lord Jesus and allowed Jesus to be crucified. That first trial was a mockery of justice. So today we're going to put Jesus Christ on trial again. I'm going to put Jesus Christ here in the seat of the accused. And we're going to hear some evidence again. I'm going to ask you to listen to the testimony of people concerning Jesus Christ. The two great questions are, what think ye of Christ? The second question is, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And I'm going to ask them, what think ye of Christ? And these witnesses are going to give words to you out of the pages of Holy Scripture. Every testimony will be backed up by the inerrant, infallible Word of God as we go back into time. First of all, I want to bring a man called the forerunner of Jesus, a wilderness man, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you were related by blood to the Lord Jesus Christ. And John, you were the one who baptized him. John, I want to ask you a question. What think ye of Christ? And I want you to hear that rugged individualist, John the Baptist, as he looks at the one in the prisoner's dock. And this is what John has to say about him. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Thank you, John. I appreciate that testimony. I want to call now the big fisherman, Simon Peter. He was always ready to speak. Surely we can get Simon Peter to give a testimony. Simon Peter, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What think ye of Christ? I want you to hear the big fisherman as he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thank you, Simon Peter, for that testimony. That's a wonderful testimony. You know who I'd like to call now? I'd like to call the Apostle John. John, you're a deep thinker. John, you're a mystic. John, you spent 3 years in the presence of Jesus. What think ye of Christ? I want you to see the beloved Apostle John as he looks into the face of Jesus. And he says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." What a wonderful testimony. Thank you, John. You may be seated. I want to call now one of the greatest intellects the world has ever known. A man who would have the equivalency, if he lived today, of a triple PhD. A man conversant in many languages. A world traveler. A scholar. A philosopher. Paul the Apostle. Stand before this jury and tell us, what do you think of Christ? I see the Apostle Paul as he says, "He is the image of the invisible God." Thank you, Paul. Do I hear someone say we need a woman to testify? Mary? You and Martha had him in your house many times. Mary, would you tell the jury the truth and the whole truth? What think ye of Christ? Mary looks at him with loving eyes and says, "I believe you are the Son of God." I'm going to do something that's never been done in an earthly trial. I'm going to bring now an angel to testify. A holy angel out of the glory. Angel, with reverence, we stand here and ask you, would you testify to this court? What think ye of Christ? And I hear the angel as he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thank you, holy angel. Do I hear someone in the jury say, but this trial is all so one-sided. All you brought is his friends. Let's hear the other side. That's good. Let's hear those who clamored for his blood and wanted him crucified. Let's hear what they have to say. Pharisees, you hated him. You wanted him crucified. Why? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Thank you, Pharisee. Caiaphas, you were the high priest. You said he ought to be crucified. Tell us, Caiaphas, why?
He said, I'm the Son of God.
Oh, thank you, Caiaphas. You may be seated. Let me call a thief. He's a street person, an insurrectionist, maybe guilty of murder. Certainly, in that day, adjudicated worthy of crucifixion. You were there with him on the cross. You beheld how he died. What do you think of him? Hear that dying thief as he says, this man hath done nothing amiss. Judas. Judas, you betrayed him. You sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas, come up from the pit. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What think ye of Christ? Hear Judas as he says, I have betrayed innocent blood. I call one of the Roman soldiers, a centurion. You watched him die. You placed him on that hellish cross. You watched as they drove that spear into his side. What think ye of Christ? Truly, this was the Son of God. Pastor, you called an angel. Why don't you call a demon? All right. Filthy demon. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What think ye of Christ? We know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Thank you, demon. Back to the pit where you belong. But somebody says, but Pastor, these are people who lived so long ago. Don't you have any modern witnesses who can speak? Yes, I have some here today who would like to tell you what they think of Christ. Because you see, he's not dead, he's alive. I'm going to ask witness if you'll take the stand, give your name, and answer the question, what think ye of Christ?
My name is Don Bramlett, and I know Jesus is alive today, and he's still changing lives today, because I grew up in a home where my dad was an all-pro linebacker, but he was also a drunk, a reprobate, you know, who mentally and physically abused my mom. You know, we had everything the world would say is successful. We had fame, we had fortune, and we had a house that four people lived in, but we didn't have a home. And, you know, I had a mom who was a good lady, who did all the right things, but through a Bible study, she learned that doing the right things and it wasn't going to get her to heaven. Trusting Jesus was the only way that mom was going to be able to get to heaven. And after mom trusted Jesus, she immediately started praying for my dad. Through her prayers, two men came by our house and shared the Lord with my dad. And through their visit, he started reading his Bible. And when dad started reading his Bible, he came to a verse of scripture, John 3:16, that we all know. And he came to the word, whosoever. That whosoever meant him. And dad became a Christian that night. I immediately saw a changed man. He started coming home at 5 o'clock sober. He started telling my brother Andy and I how much he loved us. He would hug us and kiss us. And not only that, you know, even today, we still hug and kiss each other and tell each other how much we love each other. But because I wanted to be like my dad so much, I I walked the aisle of church, was baptized, but my life had never changed. I didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus. You know, I watched my dad for 2 years, and he shared a verse of scripture with me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Through that verse, I went to bed that night, and I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. The Lord changed my life. And not only that, now I want to become more like my heavenly Father, not my earthly Father. You know, I've had some problems, since then, but I know I have the problem solver living inside of me. You know, I'd like to close by just reading a quick paragraph. It says, "All I want for Christmas is for my family and me to have a very Merry Christmas like the other two Christmases we've had. My dad was out drinking and fighting 3 years ago. We were all worrying about him and wondering when he would come back. While opening our presents, we were so miserable through those years. Now we have a happy and merry Christmas. After my dad accepted Jesus in his heart, we have a lot to be thankful for. This is all I want for Christmas, and I've got it." I wrote that in the 8th grade, and now that's why I know Jesus is alive.
Amen.
My name is Ted Miner, and this is my wife, Lily, and we're here to testify of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and His comfort. I've been saved for 25 years, but the supernatural powers of Christ that changed me at 13 years old was so evident with something that happened to me 4.5 years ago. 4.5 years ago, Lily and I lost a little daughter, a 2.5-year-old daughter, and I'm here to testify that no one could give me the comfort except He be the Son of God. You know, as I reached over and picked up my little daughter, it was a tragic accident. And as I carried her in that van to the hospital, you know, before I even cried out to God, He was there.
Amen.
He was faithful. And as I held my daughter in my hands, I don't know when the life left her, but as I held her in my arms, He was holding me in His arms. And you know, the days after that, His comfort, not only His spiritual comfort, His body of Christ, and His faithfulness and His Word kept us together strong. We had a strong marriage before, but it's got us even stronger.
As a mom, that night when I saw Joy, her eyes were looking for me. She knew she was in trouble, and my arms couldn't reach her. But I know that even though mine couldn't, that Jesus lifted her and carried her home. I thought I would never smile, but God gave me something. He gave me His peace. He gave me His love, His grace that I can't even tell you. Most of all, He gave me His joy, and I was able to smile again. I know, and I can promise you with everything that's in me, Jesus Christ is alive, and He is the Son of God. We know that we'll see Joy again.
Amen.
My name is Ed Rollins, and this is my wife, Barbara. And we would like to testify that Jesus Christ is the risen Son of God. It was 20 years ago that I asked God to reveal Himself to me in a personal way. And if we see at the time, I was a young man with a new home and new car, 2 beautiful and healthy children. But I was living a lifestyle in the fast lane and going faster all the time, and had destroyed our marriage. And it was Mother's Day that I was sitting in church, and I asked God to send someone to show me the way. It was 2 days later that I was having lunch with a friend in a restaurant, and we were discussing how we should live a better life and change our lifestyle. Nothing really was resolved, and as I was leaving the restaurant, I was backing out, and I looked into the restaurant, and I saw a man whom I had never met, but I recognized from the newspaper. I pulled my car back in and went in, and I said, "Pardon me, are you Adrian Rogers?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "I need to talk to you personally." So he was there having lunch with breakfast with his wife, Joyce. We went to a separate table. I shared with him my problems, and he gave me his telephone number and said, "Call me in an hour. I'll be home." I went home and told Barbara what had happened, and I called Dr. Rogers, and he asked me to come to his home. I did, and invited Barbara to go with me. When we got there in his study, he didn't share a bunch of do's and don'ts of marriage, but what he shared with us was Jesus Christ. He asked us to pray and to receive Christ into our hearts. Our lives were dramatically changed, and I learned later that Dr. Rogers was to be at a meeting that morning, and that morning his friend had forgotten to pick him up, and that he spoke audibly standing there in his kitchen and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do today?" And the Lord impressed on him to take Joyce to breakfast and even where to take her. Was this a coincidence? No, it was no coincidence. It was just an answer of prayer from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I, too, would like to testify about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that God is real, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died for our sins. And I know that He heals broken hearts and mends broken homes. And I am living proof, and my husband and my children are living proof, that Jesus died on the cross for us and that it was not in vain. And I'd like to take the opportunity to say thank you, Jesus, for wearing that painful crown of thorns for me and for all those here who love you and know you.
Now today, you've heard the testimony, the witnesses. You've heard the witnesses of Jesus' friends. You've heard the witnesses of his enemies, those who clamored for his death. You've heard the witness of those who said he lives and he changes lives. But now in all reverence, in all humility, I want us to get very quiet and very still. Because there's one more witness I'm going to call today. I'm going to call today the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the universe. The one who sits upon the bench for eternity. I'm going to ask Almighty God, what think ye of Christ? And I want you to hear him as he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now listen to the scripture, if you will, friend, from 1 John. Here's what God says in his holy word. If we receive the witness of men, and we have, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. God Almighty out of the glory says, "This is my beloved Son." And God has given us the written record, and God has given us the witness of the Spirit. But Holy Father, forgive. We don't want to be impertinent. But Father, they nailed him on a cross. They said he was blood guilty. Father, what do you say? God the Father says he was guilty. Guilty of love in the first degree. Guilty of loving us and taking our guilt upon himself. But God, what evidence do you give? God the Father says, "You want evidence? I will give you evidence. He is shown to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. This is the testimony. Rock-ribbed evidence. Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, living, risen, victorious. Pastor, how do you know? How do you know?
Perhaps they made up the story. Perhaps his apostles were knaves and liars. Oh, my friend, a man may live for a lie, but few, if any, will die for a lie. These seal the testimony with their lies. Men lie to get out of trouble, not to get into trouble. But you could not keep them quiet, because they knew that he had been raised from the grave, and to silence them, you might as well have told the sun not to shine. God says, "This is my beloved son," the evidence that he's not just another religious teacher is that God raised him from the dead, and the book of Acts says he was shown alive by many infallible proofs. Now you've heard the testimony today, and now I'm going to ask the jury to make a decision. I'm going to ask you now to make a solemn decision, because I remind you that Jesus Christ is in your hands. But I also remind you that one day you'll be in his hands. He is before you today, but soon, and perhaps sooner than you realize, you'll be before him. Now, what can you do with Jesus? Well, you can crown him or crucify him. What can you do with Jesus? You can accept him or reject him. What can you do with Jesus? You can confess him or deny him. But you cannot ignore him. You are face to face with the unavoidable, inevitable Jesus Christ. And you say, "Well, I will not decide." You just decided not to decide, which was your decision. And Jesus said of your decision in Matthew 12, verse 30, "He that is not with me is against me." You'll walk out of this building today either under the blood or over the blood. You'll trample his blood beneath your feet, or you'll be under the blood for the forgiveness of sin. Don't try to pull the trick that Pilate tried to pull. It didn't work. And it never will work. The question is, what think ye of Christ? What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Imagine the ballot in your hand right now. Is he guilty? Was he a fake, a fraud, an imposter, a liar, a charlatan, a knave? Guilty? Guilty of blasphemy? Was he guilty? If so, then in your heart and in your mind, mark the ballot. He's guilty. But if not, if you believe the only guilt he was guilty of was love in the first degree, that's his guilt. If you believe he's the Son of God, who left heaven and came, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again, if you believe that, in your heart and in your mind, mark your ballot that way. Have you done it? Remember, the question is not what will you do with a preacher, not what will you do with the church, not what will you do with the denomination. What will you do with Jesus? Have you decided? Guilty or innocent? Now here's the test of your character. Are you willing by faith today to live by that decision? It would be better never to have heard of him than to believe he's the Son of God and refuse to bow the knee. He's not looking for admiration. Don't tip the hat. You must bow the knee. Would you say right now, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart"? Pray a prayer like this. "Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on that cross for my sin. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. I believe it. I believe the testimony
that I've heard today. And now, Lord Jesus, I trust you to save me. And I'll not be ashamed of you. I'll confess you as my Lord. Father, I pray now that many will say yes to Jesus Christ. In his wonderful name, amen.
If you would like to learn more about how you can know Jesus or deepen your relationship with him, simply click the Discover Jesus link on our website, lwf.org. For a copy of this message or additional resources, visit our online store at lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you.